Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, now human condition segment each week with clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley. We're continuing our series on the process of change. So far, we've gone through three of the six stages of change. All those are up on our Open House website and the podcast page. They're well worth listening to. Now we're at the fourth stage, we're at last going to take some action. Lynn, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
It's been quite a while getting here.
Yes, it has.
But I guess if we're real, that's what change is often like.
Yes, it takes a while. Yes, it is. Yeah. And we've gone through the three stages before this one, which is the pre-contemplative, where we might change one day, the contemplative, where we say, oh, we're going to change, then the gonna stage. Yes. And sometimes we get stuck and we procrastinate there. And then we're into the preparing stage or the psyching us up sort of stage where we can thinking about change and then we start to consider ways of changing and now we're at the stage of taking some action.
Okay, so where do we begin to take action?
Well, it's during the action stage we actually finally do something. We change our behaviour in some way and we start to make the changes that we want. Because remember, we've worked out a plan, but it doesn't actually mean that we've changed. It doesn't actually mean that we're there. It really still is only halfway. But this stage is actually observable. So it's quite exciting for you making the change and for other people watching. But the key here is the action is actually related to the improvement that we want to make. Mm-hmm. It has to be significant for us as an individual. There's an example of a study that was conducted in Scotland. And the researchers recruited a whole lot of people who wanted to change their excess drinking. And they had a lot of people sign up for the program, about 800, which is pretty darn good for
a
study.
Yes.
And they all went through right to the end. So the retention rate was really good. And the aim of the program was to control their drinking patterns. The problem was that they set the bar far too low with the aim of 50 drinks per week for men and 35 drinks for women. that's just
don't
per week.
Don't try to stop them with that. Wow.
So there was an improvement needed for the individual satisfaction for change. But by having the bar far too low, everyone completed the program, which was good for the study, but individually people reported no or insignificant improvement.
Yes.
I actually thought they might have increased their drinking.
Some might have, yes.
So we need to make the goal realistic and we need to make it individually based. And for some people, dropping to 50 drinks per week could have been good.
Hmm.
For others, reducing to one or two per week would have been good.
Yeah.
So we need to be personal. We need to set realistic goals and aim not too high and not too low. But during the stage, it's important to have signs of success.
Yes.
And success that's measurable, not for the statisticians, but for you as a person going through the action. So if you're changing your behaviour in a relationship or in the workplace, there needs to be some signs that the action you've changed or action you've taken is actually going to make a difference.
Yeah.
So you need to have some feedback.
Yeah, so when you say feedback, does it have to be feedback from other people?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
And so never as simple in these stages.
No.
The successful completion of this stage actually depends on feedback from both. But it's interesting to know that if you rely on the feedback from others during the stage, it's often a very short-lived stage and people often go backwards. And generally, people go through this stage a few times before they absolutely negotiate it.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say it's a failed attempt. I like to think of it as a practice attempt.
How generous you are.
Yes. But most people change because other people want them to do.
Yep.
Or they have someone, they've got to do it because someone wants them to keep a job or their marriage or the relationship. So they change for outside or external factors. But in that case, their motivation to change becomes from others and not from themselves.
Yeah.
But that means then they seek feedback from other people to sustain them through the process. And if you're thinking like that, you need to have someone with you who's fully invested in your change as well as you, and they need to give you constant feedback that's encouraging, noticing the change and motivating you to keep going. So it's just not sustainable.
No.
But for example, in dieting, to finally take the action to lose weight, if you're doing it because others want you to do it, you have to have someone with you watching the scales, measuring you all the time, etc. It's a bit like The Biggest Loser.
That's a loser.
Yeah, but they lose weight and they seriously lose weight because somebody's watching them and the motivation is very external.
There's accountable.
Yes, but not all of us can go on The Biggest Loser.
Right.
And the most common pattern observed here is that if you're externally driven to lose weight, you're likely to have people support you to start with, But then they get tired or they assume that you've all got it sorted and they begin to become quite complacent.
Yes.
And the reinforcement or practical support gets less and less. And also they stop noticing the change and they forget to tell you. Yeah. And that's when the relapse occurs. So if the motivation for changing is internal rather than external, you're likely to measure the feedback in your own head. So you've got a bit of a head start, so much to say.
Okay, uh-huh. I get that.
The self-talk is important.
Yes.
So self-coaching with some realistic signs that you're making the change is really helpful. So, for example, if you were giving up smoking, you'd be saying things like, oh, I've managed a week now, or my lungs are feeling better, or I've got cleaner teeth, or I'm spending more time with my family than standing outside for a smoke, and my wife's happier, and she seems to be closer to me, and I'm making a difference, et cetera, et cetera. So you sort of coach yourself through with the little steps.
Yes.
Or if you're thinking about giving up alcohol, you'd say, oh, I've got a clearer mind in the mornings, or I'm saving money, or I've lost my sluggishness, and I don't have a dry mouth, and I'm engaged in a social scene, and I'm less embarrassing when I'm going out, and I can help my mates and stop them from drinking too much. So you see here that the attitude or the motivation for the action is being important about yes. how you change. So if it's external, you're going to have to rely on other people to be yep. your coach the whole time. But if it's internal, you can actually coach yourself to be a better coach.
Or with that self-talk.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's the same behavior for a change in relationships. If you feel like you're making a difference or a headway in your change and the other person brightens up because you're starting to make that change, you'll feel that internal satisfaction. But it's really important to have a balance though, Lee. If mm-hmm. you don't have a balance with other people noticing and saying, oh, you've lost that bit of weight, or, you know, it sounds like your relationship's going well. You know, if you don't have someone noticing that, it's not real good.
It's the best thing when you're trying to lose weight.
Yeah, it's
people
really
start
good.
Noticing, oh, thank you. Yeah. So does this mean that we all have to want to change ourselves in a way before change in practice is happening?
Well, not really. Okay. It does actually help if we want to change. And, of course, it's great to actually start working with people who already want to change. But if you really look at it, most people change because other people want them to in the first place. And it isn't until they feel the benefits and experience the goals that they're aiming for that they then begin to internally coach themselves. For example, so someone who's grossly overweight,
yeah.
they may not notice or feel or have the motivation to lose the weight because they just think it's too big a goal.
Yes.
And often their self-esteem is so low that they don't really think they deserve to be any smaller. And they sabotage any of their attempts. So it's really good here to have a coach or someone who externally motivates them.
I'm sure.
Until they start to lose a bit of weight and then they start going, oh, yes, I can feel the benefits. And then the self-talk starts
yes.
to come in.
So you're saying that we just need to have mostly internal motivation to manage that kind of action stage rather than having people to spur us on. But again, encouragement is helpful to start with at least.
Yep, that's right. And the key is the transfer from external motivation into the internal motivation.
Okay.
And that's where good programs and good therapists come into play. Now, I'm going to get into a real complicated part here.
Oh no, it's so late.
Yeah, it's too late,
okay,
but it's really good.
Carefully.
But if you notice the way I've been talking,
yes.
the type and the quality of the feedback is really important for managing this stage.
Yeah.
Negative and positive feedback doesn't have the same effect. Negative feedback reinforces the cons for changing. Positive feedback reinforces the pros for changing.
Sure.
So as we've talked about over the few weeks, the movement from each stage is about weighing up the pros and cons. But studies have noticed that there's a trend that's different for each transition. So when you go from a pre-contemplative to yep. a contemplative stage, you need to have more cons about staying the same. So the things negatives
yes.
and more pros about changing. Okay. Therefore, to help someone to tell that person about the things that are causing them difficulties with staying the same, they become informed of the problems and they're causing or they're facing with remaining the same. So
yeah.
they need more cons, more negatives about staying than pros.
I get that.
Okay. And then if you're going from contemplating to preparing to change, that person needs to have more of the vision of the benefits of changing. So they need more positives. The vision of how it would be when the change is in place, than they do the difficulties with maintaining or making the change. So they need more pros or more positives than negatives.
Because you're moving closer to the stage of actually taking the action
yes,
eventually.
Yes. Yeah. But in the preparation or action stage, or in the preparation to action stage, so you're still preparing and now you're going to action,
yep.
that person needs to have an equal balance of the cons of staying the same and the pros of changing.
Wow.
Which actually means that they've got more reason to change because staying the same doesn't look that good. So it's during this action stage that you need to have the pros of changing clearly marked with small steps that show each small change is making a difference between them before the get to the larger goal.
I'm sure that's true.
So you need to have more pros of changing than cons, and the pros need to be quite detailed.
So if this is not necessarily applying to us, but we're alongside someone wanting or needing to change, friend or family, how can we help them during this action stage of change?
We can help by outlining the benefits of changing, imagining and being aware of the small steps that they're heading in the right direction, but helping the person to own the steps and the progress, as well as making sure that they're changing for themselves, not for you. So things we can do during the stage are asking what they're looking forward to when the change is in place, or what was it that made them want to change in the first place, or what have they noticed so far? Praising them for their strengths and their fortitude to make the change, or celebrating them as a person, not for what they're doing, but reinforcing their worth. It's all too often we do the opposite. It's all too often we say things like, oh, it's about time, or, you know, she had something to, you know, time she did that.
Yeah.
And they become quite, we become quite cynical, and that's just not helpful at all.
No. If we're the ones taking the action for change, how can we help ourselves then? Mostly by that self-talk?
Yes, and I really think it's helpful to get a good therapist.
Yes.
Someone who's willing to work with you on your terms, who's going to actually work with what are the change you want to see and how do you think is the best way to make that change. And then that person knows your steps and they're able to encourage you with your strengths. And they're also able to help you with some strategies and to help you get some sort of self-talk that you can practice.
Yeah.
And also helping you to manage a cheer squad, you know. So if you've got to work on your cheer squad, helping you to choose who's going to be the best cheer squad.
Yeah.
And so the other thing is helping yourself by giving your little self some little celebration steps on the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That, and you notice too that when you celebrate steps, you then become they become your new markers, and you're less likely to go back from those celebratory steps.
Yeah. Can you think of a practical example, just to wrap, of someone who you've known or helped who's navigated this stage of change?
Yes, yes. I know of someone who gave up alcohol. They were quite severely addicted to alcohol.
Okay.
It was managing to interfere with their whole life. They took a long time before they actually worked out that they needed to do that change. But once they realised they had to make that change and they talked, they came in and talked to somebody in a therapy room. And when they did that, they were given some really clear steps and they just really stuck to their guns.
Yeah.
And one of the really good things was to actually, this person managed to make all of her appointments, make all of the steps that she'd put aside, and the changes in her relationships were phenomenal.
They had a professional alongside them.
They had a professional alongside them. Yeah.
So next week, where are
we
next week?
We're up to maintaining the state, the change.
Okay.
So one of the really important parts of making a change is actually having a maintenance period. A time where you sort of flatline in the things that you're doing. You're not necessarily making new things happen, but you're maintaining. That's really, really important for that process of change.
Look forward to it. As always, thank you, Lynn Worsley. See you next week.
Thanks.
See
Lee.
You.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.